Why don't we read the title together?
Treasuring the Divine Truth for the Advance of the Lord's Recovery.
You know, it's a time, it's a season. And now, with the conference coming up next weekend, and then the following month, the winter training, we need our being to be calibrated a little bit.
Amen.
Otherwise, this opportunity may slip us by without us receiving the real benefit that we should. That is, and the church life, the recovery, receiving the benefit. So it's good to be reminded a few of these points. Of course, the scripture reading, we know from 1 Timothy 2:4 that our Savior God desires all men to be saved.
Amen.
And to come to the full knowledge of the truth. And that's not just so I'll be full of the truth and you'll be full of the truth, but because the church and its function in the universe, according to 1 Timothy 3:15, is the pillar and base of the truth. Something in this universe of world of deception and darkness needs truth.
Amen.
And the church has the function to uphold the truth.
Amen.
To declare the truth. And then we see in 3:9 and 4:6 something of the way we could have this. And particularly 4:6, I'm just enjoying the fact that we need to get the truth into us by enjoying the word,
right? Amen.
With the exercise of our spirit. Finally, in Ephesians 4, and we'll get this in the outline, we need to hold to truth.
Amen.
To grow up into Christ. Amen. So that out from him, there could be the building up of the church. So let's go through the outline here. One together. Truth being the first great pillar in the Lord's recovery. So brothers and sisters, we're not here. If you want to know what is our, what makes us particular, it's not that we have big congregations, big mega churches, wonderful auditoriums, great choirs. We don't have that stuff. What do we have? We just have the truth. People should be able to say, you better be careful about going to that place, because if you go there, they're gonna open the Bible with you. They're gonna read the Word. You know, you can't argue with the truth. That we should be people of the divine truth, in such a strong way. Okay, and this is a pillar, not only a pillar, but it is the first pillar. What everything we practice should be based upon the revelation of the divine truth. So what do we mean by truth? A. Truth means reality.
Amen.
Denoting all the real things revealed in God's word, which are mainly Christ as the embodiment of God. You know, Christ said, I am the truth. You know, he says, I am the way, the truth. The truth isn't a thing. The truth is a person.
Amen.
Christ said, I am the reality. Do you want reality in the universe? Reality is a person.
Amen.
And then what? All the real things revealed in the Word, which are mainly Christ, and what? The church is the body of Christ. Okay, so we saw the church is the pillar and base of the truth. Every saved person should have a full knowledge.
Whoa.
A complete realization of these things.
Amen.
This is from note 2 of the recovery version, 1 Timothy 2:4. So what does this mean? Be together. God
desires all of us to have the full knowledge of the divine truth.
So, just certain of the responsible brothers, right?
No.
Now, it doesn't say that. It says, it even says all men. In the footnote, it says even all saved persons.
Amen.
So that means really that every high school student, every college student.
Amen.
Are you an all men, Daniel? It's kind of hard to argue with that. Right, but what about the sisters? So, you know, the sisters could say, "Well, you know, I don't have that much capacity." Well, it says all of us, all men, should have the full knowledge, a complete realization.
Amen.
This is God's desire, anyway. Okay, so see, truth, life, the church, and the gospel are the four great pillars in the Lord's recovery. So here's why it's so crucial: truth brings in life. If you can have a time with the Lord to pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for your precious blood. Is that experience of life? Yes. But what is it based upon? It's based upon the revelation of the truth. That Christ shed his blood for our redemption. Is that a truth? Absolutely. But if we didn't have the revelation of the truth of Christ's accomplished redemption, how could we have the efficacious application of the blood to bring us into fellowship with the Lord Jesus?
Amen.
Okay, so the truth brings in life. Truth and life are what? Produce the church. The church is the issue of the divine truth and the divine life. What? The church is responsible for preaching the gospel. So we need to see, where does it start? It starts with the opening up of the truth. This is awesome. Okay, two together.
Our growth in the divine life, the kind of church we build up, and the kind of gospel we preach depend on the kind of truth we hold.
Okay, so we need to see this sequence here. So we saw in Ephesians 4:15, it's holding, what does it say? Holding to truth in love, we may grow up into Him in all things, who is the head, Christ. So we need to realize, we need to hold to the divine truth to grow. Without this divine truth, we wouldn't have the way, the element with which to grow.
Amen.
This is crucial. Then B, how about sisters?
By growing up into Christ in the head, through our holding to truth in love, we have a measure of Christ for the building up of His body.
Amen.
Then you see, after holding to truth, and at verse 16 it says, out from whom? Out from Christ the head, through the joints of rich supply, and the operation in the measure of what?
Each one part.
You say, well, I'm just a small part. Well, even a little small part, you know, can have a function. See, so you say, well, I'm just a little part of the body of Christ. Well, but even that measure is needed. So for that measure, that function, that operation to come forth, we need to be those holding to truth and love. This is good. So see, brothers. Our usefulness in the church service and the gospel depend on our constitution with the divine truth. Now you look at Acts chapter 8. There you see the case of Philip. You know who Philip was? Philip was one of the brothers who was waiting on tables in Jerusalem because the poor Hellenistic widows weren't getting enough, wouldn't take care of. Probably they couldn't communicate that well because they spoke Greek and others spoke Hebrew. Anyway, they had a special service group that were helping to make sure these widows got food to eat. But you know what? In this service, Philip, you could see, he was a brother who was full of the truth. Because later the Holy Spirit could say, go out there to the desert and, you know, run up by a chariot. You know what he did? He came up by this Ethiopian ruler, and he's reading a scroll with the prophet Isaiah on it. And he says, do you understand what you're reading? How can I unless someone explains it to me? So Philip got up in the chariot with him, and from the very passage he was reading, which was Isaiah 53, he opened to him the gospel of Jesus as the Christ.
Amen.
Now, do you think the Holy Spirit would have blown him out there, sent him out there into the desert to share with him? He said, well, I'm sorry, I don't understand that passage either. We better pray to God that He'll tell us what this is about, because I don't know what it's talking about. No. But because he was full of the truth, amen, he could say that very passage, he could open the scriptures to.
Yeah. Amen.
So this was the gospel. And if you see here, in 1 Timothy 3, 2 and 9, it talks about the elders, it talks about even the deacons. It says even to serve in the church, one should hold the mystery of the faith in a good conscience. Mm. So we need to have the truth in our being so that we could be able to serve and be useful. In 2 Timothy 2:2, what does it say there? It says that things which you've heard from me through many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be competent to teach others also. So if we're to be useful in the Lord's hand, we need to have some measure. We need to be faithful ones ourselves in the truth so we can commit it to Todd, who can give it to Billy.
Amen.
You see what I'm saying? So we need the truth to be in our being. This should be our burden.
Amen.
Okay. What riches of truth? Where do we get this truth from? Three.
The riches of the divine truth in the Lord's recovery mean for our constitution.
Saints, we have a wealth of the divine truth. One is, just like we're going to enjoy in the second session, we're getting into something new and fresh of the divine truth. We're enjoying the heavenly vision these last 6 weeks or so, and we'll have something further coming up. So we need to appreciate all the riches we have in the Holy Word for morning revival. What? B, sisters. The recovery version with the footnotes. Oh, saints, it's such a treasure that we have in our hands. You know, sometimes we may take it for granted, but we get these, BJ gets these reports from Bible readers and things. Some are so appreciative of the treasures we have, saints. It'd be a shame if we talked to some new ones and they appreciate the treasures we have more than we do.
That's right.
So we need to be into them day by day. We'll get to that in the next point. Then see, brothers, the life study messages and other ministry publications. There's so much of the ministry just pouring out. If you're on DMS, direct mail service, you just can't keep, I just try to grab a paragraph here or grab a paragraph there because there's so much, so many riches. Anyway, then this is the point I'm getting to. D, together.
The seven annual feasts for the release of the Lord's up-to-date speaking.
So, of course, next weekend, we will have one of these feasts, which is the International Thanksgiving Conference, which will be going on in San Antonio, Texas, starting next Thursday night and going through the Lord's Day morning. But many of us are not able to go. So we'll see in the next point. There's different ways to get into this. But this up-to-date speaking that keeps coming out is just so abundant and so rich. We need to appreciate it. So this fellowship is to stir up our appreciation for the treasures that we have in the recovery. So how can we be constituted? Okay, four together. Ways to be constituted with the truth
for the building up of the body.
That is for the advance of the Lord's recovery. Brothers A,
feed on a few Bible verses each day.
And read the ministry excerpts that open them up. Okay, so we get the Holy Word for Morning Revival. You know, do your best to get something. You know, the first word I'd say is taste. I hope that we would all, you know, I was thanking the Lord as I was enjoying my breakfast today. Lord, thank you for a good appetite, for a good taste. And, you know, my prayer is, Lord, may I have a spiritual appetite that exceeds my physical appetite. You know, just may the Lord give us a fresh, renewed, in a taste. Anyway, so whether you can read the whole thing, you know, there's some that maybe you just read the two verses in a little gray box.
Yeah.
Some that can read all the excerpts. Someone to look up all the additional references. I mean, you know, that would study and pray over the outline. Anyway, we should get into the taste and enjoy as much as you can. You know, in the book of Exodus, the people were supposed to gather every day, every man according to their eating. So some gathered more and some gathered less. And he who gathered more didn't have extra. And he who gathered less wasn't short. So we need to just gather as much as you can and receive it. Anyway, sisters B, read through the Bible with the help of the recovery version and footnotes, reading at a pace that you can sustain. Now in Acts 17:11, the word records that the Bereans were more noble than the Thessalonians because they examined the scriptures daily to see if the things the apostles were saying were really true. So they didn't just nod their head and say, sure, that sounds good to me. They were opening the scriptures to say, is this really true? They were reading, you know, so we should be more noble. And so just to give you a practical application, we finished the life study of Galatians, but guess what? There's about 3 weeks or more till the semi-annual training. How many?
5 weeks.
5 weeks. Okay. So the book of Exodus, I think we're all aware that we're going to get into the book of Exodus. So how much we're prepared for that, you know, maybe some of us would be able to read through the book of Exodus. Some may be able to read through it, at least half of it, with the footnotes. Some may have a little more capacity and like to read even some of the life studies. Now, we know we're not going to cover the whole book of Exodus in this training. There may be multiple trainings, 2, 3 or more. Anyway, but that's one way we can do it, is to read the Bible. Okay, then a sister C.
Read the middle of the life studies each day, 2 messages a week, and fellowship with a companion.
Now we'll get into this more before we start the book of Philippians. We want to have more fellowship on this. But 2 messages a week probably only takes about 15 minutes, most 20 minutes to read through a message. You could read 10 minutes a day and you would, you know, get something from that. So the church has a schedule. We're going through the 20-year plan to go through the life study of the Bible. Anyway, okay, brothers, B,
attend the ministry meetings and feasts
live, or by webcast, listen to the MP3s. So today, saints, there's a way for everyone to get into these riches. You know, before Glenn and I get back on the plane on Lord's Day, you could have watched every one of those webcasts. Or you can, by the time we get back, they'll probably be downloadable MP3s. You can put them on a little, you know, a mini MP3 player and play them in your car. So there's a way for every one of us who has the appetite, that taste, to get into these riches. And I mentioned the matter of companions. The danger we have locally, which actually going live, it's the same. It depends upon our exercise, is that we just maybe listen to it and we don't really have much exercise. But I know the trainees, they will be assigned to not just go to those meetings, but to pray over, study over, right? Trainees, right, okay. So anyway, we should all be trainees under the Lord's perfecting. That means you don't just sit there and stare at the screen and put down the outline and then go do your own business. We should come back. Okay, well that's E. Let's read E together.
Pray, and fellowship over the Lord's up-to-date speaking in order to enter into the reality of the word you have heard.
Do y'all know that there's two different Greek words for the word word in the Bible? There's logos and there's rhema. Now, we could get a bunch of logos every time we just read, or we could, by pray and pray reading, we could get some rhema. Wouldn't you like to get at least one rhema word of the Lord? The Lord Jesus says, the words that I have spoken to you, they are spirit and they are life. So how are we going to get that? Not just by staring at the outline, but if we would pray over it. Now, you may not be able to pray over every word on the outline, but maybe there's the parts that touched you. You pray over them and pray read the verses. You know, pray reading is, I think, is a lost art. Maybe we need to learn to pray read more. That means to read the word with the exercise of spirit. Sometimes I get light just by the verses themselves. Realize, wow, it does say that. So we should pray read the verses. You know, there's scripture verses on most of the outlines and in the points to pray read them. And then fellowship. You know, it does say, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly,
amen,
teaching and admonishing what? One another. I'll tell you the truth. Even if I get into a life study, if I don't have somebody to fellowship with, it basically just is a file on my drive. But even if I outline the whole thing. But if I can share that with somebody in the lunchroom or over the kitchen table or something like that, you will get more of the word dwelling in you richly.
Amen.
Okay, then F, which we're going to do in the second session. Speak in the meetings what you have enjoyed of the truth each week. So even if you went to the college meeting, Daniel, or the high school meeting, Esther, or whatever meeting, a meeting of the train, you can share what you've enjoyed. So we should consider that this second session is an all-speakers meeting. It's not just the life, the Holy Word for Morning Revival on the heavenly ministry, heavenly vision. Whatever, if you've given a measure, if you enjoyed a hymn, what does it say? 1 Corinthians 14:26. Whenever you come together, each one has.
Amen.
So I hope that this kind of fellowship, saints, as we move into this season with the Thanksgiving conference and the semi-annual training, we would have a stronger exercise.
Amen.
And to encourage all the saints to even go before the Lord, that we wouldn't be, as the Hebrews were, dull of hearing. You know, Paul had more to say to the Hebrews concerning Melchizedek and the second stage. He says, I couldn't say much because you become dull of hearing. So may we pray, Lord, grant me a cleansed and circumcised ear.
Amen.
We need our ears to be circumcised.
Amen.
So we wouldn't be dull.
Amen.
You know, like Eli, he was kind of dull and his eyes were kind of closed. And you know, we don't want to have that kind of dullness. But we want to be like Samuel.
Amen.
Oh, was that you, Lord? Yeah, I mean, he was ready. And the Lord spoke to him. Anyway, may the Lord speak to us in these days.